Okay, it's 5 o'clock. Time to call to order the Town Discovery Day special committee meeting for the Park and Recreation.
Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Now it's time for public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board on any item that's not on the agenda, this is your opportunity. So if there's anyone in the audience that wants to come up to the podium. Is this right? Now that's on the agenda or not on the agenda?
He says it's not on the agenda. It's regarding the pickleball courts.
It's on the agenda.
Okay, he failed me already.
It's okay, you get one fail.
Do we have anyone online? No? Okay, well, hearing none, then we will close public comments. And we're actually going to go a little out of order because I think we're waiting for someone to show up. So we'll go to F2, regarding Clipper Drive revitalization project.
Okay. So at the Park and Rec Committee meeting in March, we presented 4 options and we were given direction to further develop a couple of those options. The presentation consisted of many of the concepts that were brought forward from the community during the Prop 68 competitive grant process. Staff then brought 2 of these concepts to the most recent Finance Committee. During that meeting, the Finance Committee recommended to provide funding from the Hoffman Settlement in the amount not to exceed $370,000. This, along with $100,000 in carryover funding from fiscal year 2020-2021, would be a grand total of $470,000. Now, to clarify the concept, I broke it down into kind of the 3 problem areas that we've been hearing from the community and the committee. First problem is the narrow walking path. So we're proposing to create a concept that will allow for a wider path, but keeping it more of a meandering or flowing freeform pattern. The second problem is the wall aesthetics. We do not own the wall, so we're proposing to create kind of a living wall and landscape panel screen. So it'll be offset from the wall 2 to 3 feet, allow for repairs for the wall from the homeowner side, because that's who owns the wall, not to interfere with the landscape side on our property. The third problem is the lack of seating and general condition of the landscape. So we're proposing to use dry skate materials we've used throughout other designs in town, and then we'll create natural borders, boulder seating at some of those locations in conjunction with those wide areas. Now, if these problems were addressed, we could have a completely finished project. However, when we start to think about what added value we can incorporate into this nearly 3-acre site, we can really begin to add more of some of those community wishes. And that's kind of how I address the costs. So if we go with just the complete project, no bells and whistles, the budget falls in the $260,000 range. Now, it's staff's direction to take the project a little bit further and incorporate, kind of from the a la carte menu, some of the following things. More new dock stations and trash receptacles, some solar bollard lighting, low emittance, not concerning for the homeowners, and then painting of the utility boxes with the help of some local schools. So adding those additions to the budget would bring the total in at $375,000. Again, this doesn't mean we cannot add some further amenities in the future, but after this, we would have a completed project.
So on the path and dryscape option, so is that, what exactly, let's take the dryscape off for a second, just the path. What would that envision for you?
So the path would be a decomposed granite material, so at the same elevation as the walk, so when you're walking, people tend to step off of the walk into the landscape.
How wide of a pathway do you envision, do you think we need? Because there's actually two distances. The sidewalk's 3 feet in one section, and 4 feet, or 6 feet
in the other. Other.
Yeah. Right, so it's in this scenario, we're probably looking at anywhere, okay, so the sidewalk's 4 feet, probably an additional 4 to 8 feet.
So, not to get too crazy into the minutia of it, but is it removing the current concrete that's there now?
Concrete stays in place.
Are we going to repair some of those areas that
are...
There's some pretty...
lips, and there's also an area of...
it's like
drain,
a...
drain, yeah. Yes.
I think there's like a sewer drain there or something. It's almost like a 30
it's
on
a,
three games.
It's a pretty major tripping hazard. So,
we can address that as well.
Okay. I like the screen idea. We just walked it to kind of have a better feel and understanding for it. And that was, I think, one of the things that we had mentioned was, like, how do we take care of the wall?
Do you have any screen costs? That's just this one?
The wall panels. And that was, and we, when we went through the competitive grant process, we kind of used those costs as well. That's one of the options brought up from the community meetings.
So are we going to, like, the items that are currently there for the dryscapes and stuff like that, is that, what's the plan for that? Like, are we going to keep some of that? Are we going
to completely... we'll keep some of the plant material and a lot of the boulders and things. We'll retrofit in similar materials. So it's not going to be a completely scrape and redo.
Yeah.
It's more of a retrofit.
And you feel confident that you can make it look consistent and
right.
not so piecemealed together.
So along the sound wall, though, there's several different varietals going there. And do you have a dream of having just one varietal? So, I mean, what's your kind of ultimate?
I'm sorry, what was?
For the trees that kind of line the sound wall, there's I don't know the names of them, but
right, that's okay. There are some plant material right now that are consistent and we would keep that are in good condition. For the entire swath, there's one plant material that I would use to make a more of a uniform look throughout the whole scape.
Okay.
Going back to the path a little bit here.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think we could start the project without necessarily narrowing down a lot of the finer details as we kind of go along here. One kind of conversation that we had as we were walking it was, what would the cost differential be of just removing all the concrete, doing a 6-foot or 8-foot decompressed deal and kind of accomplish the same thing. I don't know what's if one over the other, but
sure. Well, I mean, I can. It's in discussion. Absolutely, I can figure out the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I think just looking at it from like kind of from the scope that I'd like to look at it as like, let's fix it right. Let's make it something to where we're not sitting here again in 2 years talking about trip hazards or inconsistencies. I think the biggest complaints that we get is that it's not consistent and it just doesn't look great. You've done beautiful work on a lot of the other landscape stuff that you've done. I think it'd be nice to see that and then expand the walkways. I mean, again, even walking, every time someone came near us, everybody had to step off the pathway to do it. So,
and some of the areas, there's a 6-inch drop off from the pathway to the ground. So,
yeah.
I love the idea of that, and I love the idea of having solar pathway lights.
Same.
Ashley lives over there, and she says you see people at 9,
yeah,
10 o'clock at night walking.
We walk that every night, like anywhere from 8 to 10 p.m. There is 10 p.m., there's people walking their dogs, there's sometimes on the weekends there's kids out there. So I think anything that we can do to make it safer with lighting or, consistency in the level of what we're doing and make it look nice too would be great. I always like the idea of using local students to do artwork to make it more local.
I mean, ultimately, it sounds like we have a lot of money to spend, but we don't have a lot of money to spend. It's
burned up. It goes really fast, right?
That's another discussion point, but...
So what do you need from us? You need direction?
Direction. I think we can... Let's think about this. Okay, so...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Do you want him to get a quote for you on removing the concrete? Because that will just... We'll bring that back to the next meeting then. Or do you want him to... How do you want him to proceed? So,
well,
I heard
can you start the project without necessarily addressing that?
So in the construct... If I were to in the construction phase, I would say that the panels and the trees along the wall would be the first thing.
Okay. That we need to identify.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Then moving forward would be the pathway.
Okay.
And then the general landscape and kind of that boulder seating area kind of mess.
Okay.
So
that's a good phase to understand how that process would look.
Yeah. I love the dynamic approach that, hey, you know what, as this project goes on, we revisit, hey, let's, we think about that, are we going the right way? New ideas come up.
Yeah.
So
ultimately, we're just trying to solve the problems of the,
yeah,
the space.
And timing-wise, like, we give you direction, it goes to the board to be voted on. Like, what is the timing-wise to start some of this stuff?
Well, I think the board's already... Do we approve? So
today we have to bring it to the board. So we're going to bring back the concept, bring back Bill's phasing plan,
mm-hmm,
with what we discussed today. We'll bring it back to the board at a later board meeting, hopefully in May, to get it approved to start,
okay,
the project.
On the entrance to the developments, there's these the protrusions of planter boxes.
Yes.
Is that us, or is that belong to the development, or have you guys been maintaining it?
As far as I know, we do irrigate it.
Because there'd be no one from the development to take care of it.
Right.
So
that's us.
Well then.
Not the wall part.
I understand.
No, but the soil part.
The soil part.
Got it. Okay.
Well, yeah, but they're decorative planter boxes that stand out from the wall, so.
Yeah.
And
right,
they're just empty dirt at this point. Like, there's one plant and one of them.
Yeah.
So.
We would address that.
We'll suggest those one.
And then I think at the last meeting you had mentioned that there was a potential to have shade structures from the core.
Correct. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? I know we had talked about possibly,
sure,
doing that here.
So if you wanted to incorporate a shade structure at, you know, Clipper, I would consider putting it in one of these kind of these boulder seating areas I'm talking about. That image right there. Correct.
Okay. Would it be something that would possibly potentially work over at that little playground over there?
Yes. Yeah. That would be another option as well.
Well, we looked at that as well, and I don't know if this is a pipe dream, but it'd be nice
for
if we offer some parking spaces for
the top
lot. The top lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Tina's like, oh, well, this budget just got blown.
The thing with the shade structure is, depending on placement, we want to make sure that we don't, encroach
on
somebody's
else's
backyard view, looking at the street if they want to,
okay,
or somebody that is across the street that might not want to see a shade structure. Who knows? So we'll definitely have to
figure out
a place where to put it, and then ask the residents that live around there if that's okay to place there. So.
I would say the play structure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's,
yes,
a lot of kids in,
yes,
the summertime there. It's hot.
Yeah.
There's not really, I mean, you're looking in at,
mm-hmm,
at the end of,
yeah,
water view,
yeah,
so,
yeah,
maybe that's a good place for it.
Yeah.
Okay. We get to brainstorm with these things, and
yeah, we just get started and can brainstorm.
Do we need to pull a comment?
All right. Then, Bill, do you have your direction of what to do next? Are you clear with that?
So,
not clear.
No, let's make sure he's clear.
So, my opinion, I think priorities would be the wall, like you had talked about, like wall and doing that stuff. I think the solar lighting is important. I think the dog stations and trash are important. And then, you know, start with that, and then we can look at kind of the sidewalks. In a real ideal world, I'd love all of those options to work, but I think those are the ones that would make a good impact at this point. I like the boulder seating as well.
Well, and you might find that some of these things are a year or two lead time, so.
Yeah.
Right, so if we could decide at the board meeting, if panels and that wall screen kind of is the way to go, then it's probably, I need to get out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the lead time at this point.
Okay.
Well, I think from this committee standpoint, I think we're in support of that. I don't know, obviously you can't speak for the rest of the directors, but I would at least start the process looking into getting the bids and quotes and finding out and pick a style that, you know, obviously you like.
Okay.
Yeah. So the phase one would be the trees and the panels.
That's,
I think,
great.
That's the first
phase
one that we take to the board,
yeah,
and explain the phasing of it. And then once that's getting close to being finished, we can talk about the other portions of it and then take that and get approved.
Sounds like
and then kind of go through from there.
Sounds good.
Does that work?
Is there any public comment regarding the Clipper Drive? Nothing? No one visits Clipper Drive. Okay.
Thank you.
Online? Online? Did you want to go to F3 or F1?
You
want to
finish? What's
your F1
then?
Did you want me to come back?
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. Good evening, afternoon. We'd like to discuss with the committee today a proposal from Discover Bay Recreation and Sports, which is the pickleball group, the possibility of making two of our tennis courts here at the community center, painting permanent lines so that they can be dual tennis and pickleball courts. So I believe what we'd like to do is we have somebody representing, three people kind of representing, giving opinions so we can really know what our options are and go from there.
So before you do that, could you just give us a quick overview again? How many courts, what the status of them?
We have six tennis courts and we have six pickleball courts.
And the status of those as far as condition-wise, are they all...
Yeah, the pickleball courts are in beautiful condition. They're new. The back three tennis courts, four, five, and six, were just redone, resurfaced in June of 2021, and tennis courts one, two, and three are scheduled to be resurfaced May 9th.
So next month. That's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on the schedule for Saviano. They've been issued a purchase order, so those courts will also be brand new and beautiful.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited. If you don't have any other questions, I'd like to start bringing representatives up. Okay. Do we have a pickleball representative?
Hello, my name is Randy Ford, and I'm representing Discovery Bay Pickleball. And I just want to kind of update you a little bit about what pickleball is doing in the U.S. and why we're so passionate about it. Communities across the United States have been investing in pickleball. A Massachusetts town, Pittsburgh, actually, I'm from Massachusetts. They recently approved a $400,000 budget to upgrade the pickleball courts. A bar in San Antonio combined sports with craft beer. And an old mall in St. Louis converted a food court to a pickleball court. This also, I've seen a lot of empty warehouses that are being converted to pickleball. So it's not going to bring any economic growth to our community, but there's still big benefits. Okay? So for those of you who don't play pickleball, here's just some of the benefits. So basically, pickleball makes people happy. It's the same reason why public parks go in. It's the same reason you landscape areas in our town. You don't do these things because you think they're going to raise per capita income or generate higher levels of unemployment. You do it because it makes our town a nicer place to live, and it makes people happy. In 2021, just last year, pickleball grew to 4.8 million players in the U.S. It's an incredible two-year growth rate of almost 40%. So why is pickleball so popular for those who haven't played it? I encourage you to play it. It's a sport that's easy to learn, and it's fun for mixed groups, no matter the age. Our oldest player is actually 85. Our youngest player is 7. As people play together, they laugh together, they get to know one another, and pickleball creates a sense of community. According to the USA Pickleball Association, there are about 38,000 pickleball courts in the United States, 90 more venues being built every month. But anyone that has to wait for a court knows that it's just not enough. With everyone from George Clooney to the Today Show, it's one of the fastest growing sports in the US, and we just need more places to play and more courts so that everyone can have a turn. So this is why we came to you today. On any given Saturday, we have about 30 people waiting to play. I don't know if you've come out. And you can see they're waiting to play. We put the paddles up on the fences. And we look around and we see empty tennis courts. They're just empty. And we have people just waiting to play. So what we're asking you today is to make people in our community happy by approving that we'll only use the tennis courts if no one's playing on them, and we'll bring portable nets out, and it will be dual-purpose courts, which many communities are doing. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we have tennis. I think Josh is going to speak for the tennis group.
Hello there. Thank you. Hi. I'm Josh Overton. I've been a resident here for about 30 years. I am the Liberty High School tennis coach. I represent the Discovery Bay Tennis Association. You know, there's no doubt that pickleball, as well as tennis, skateboarding, a million things are very popular, but we do have a lot of issues. And what I'm trying to capture is the majority of the comments taking out the feelings and the emotion, because there's a lot, you know, back and forth. So I will read and then we can blah afterwards. Basically, kind of the first thing is there's plenty of pickleball courts. We used to have, what did we have here? 4, 8 tennis courts, 2 over there at Cornell. We gave up 2 here, and I was in the meeting before we did that, and we were okay with that because we like to share the community with them. Cornell Park, we gave up a tennis court there. They put in 2 pickleball courts. And that's great too. They were playing pickleball when I was playing tennis there. Since then, they have actually painted over the tennis court there. I mean, to the point where we really can't use it. It's terrible. Over here, our courts are just so much better than they were. We are having a couple more redone, but the back ones are going to be cracking because we had them resurfaced, but they were actually never dug down and done right. So they're already cracking. They still look better than any public park, and this is a great facility. Maintaining wind screens, maintaining nets. We put a lot of money into the wind screens and the nets. Since then, the town has actually done a lot of maintenance with the nets and the wind screens to help us. But to take more courts from us when right now we come out to play, and reality is we are, as residents and our friends from other communities, Brentwood and such, that come out here to play, we have to coordinate with tennis lessons as well as league play. We have leagues that we have authorized to play here, and they can rent these courts. There's not one team from Discovery Bay, regardless of what their name is. They're Mountain House, they're Tracy, and they come out here and play, and they take the whole back and leave 2 courts for Discovery Bay, which is really tough because Discovery Bay, not only do we live here, but there's a lot of people that vacation here. So the one time they're here on the weekend, all the courts are full. You know, with tournaments or with lessons or whatever, there's a lot of juggling. And we can't go over to Cornell to play, which brings up something later, as far as when this is closed on holidays, that park, we can't even use on a holiday. It's kind of tough. I really do enjoy pickleball. And as a matter of fact, I played for the first time this weekend. It was a lot of fun. There's no denying that it's fun. However, when you're giving lessons, and I actually have my boys come out from Liberty to play. I have the girls come out with the girls' coaches that come out. Lucy, she gives lessons out here. Trying to manage and teach when you've got all these additional lines on there is it's very problematic. And if you hit as hard or serve as fast as me, trying to actually see a ball and which line it hit is pretty tough too. So there's many different reasons, but reality is it all comes down to scheduling. The only time that pickleball courts are full is Saturday morning. I've never seen 30 people waiting. There may be 30 people playing, never 30 waiting. And in the afternoon, it's half empty. Sunday, it's empty. During the week, it's never full. And if it's full on a Saturday morning, why don't they go to Cornell? We have no option to go anywhere else. They do, and they have the option to schedule it, which is what we do. We do early birds during the week in the morning. We schedule drop-ins on the weekends. We have league that is scheduled on like Sundays and Saturdays, miscellaneous stuff. Lucy rotates her schedule for training. It's not a lack of facilities here. We have facilities. You've got two great courts down there that they worked hard and raised money for to put in. They have these facilities that, with a bond and their money, they put in, and we agreed to. But to encroach on what limited facilities we have left, you know, it's just pretty tough when we can see the rest of the time. No. You know what? I'm sorry. If you want to get the whole group together and your facility doesn't work, stagger the group. Have a morning and an afternoon, or do a Saturday and Sunday, just like we did. Just because you don't see the courts full does not mean we do not use them. We stagger based on what's available to us. And reality is the majority of that group are non-residents. Now, tennis players, we have a lot of non-residents that come out and play tennis as well. However, why would we spend our money, our time, or our facilities for non-residents? Now, a lot of them, the majority of the non-residents are actually from Brentwood, which is fine. They're close, and a lot of our friends are from there, and we encourage them to come out and play. They have no public courts out there. But right now, actually, they are building courts over at Creekside Park in Brentwood, which is also going to relieve some of the impact of the overcrowding, if you will. But reality is, we do not need to alter. If anything else, we need to restore. How about you restore the one tennis court we have left over at Cornell so that when you guys are closed for holidays, because everybody needs time off, that the residents and the vacation people that come here and own here have a place to play. You know, it's really tough when you come here on a weekend. And like this weekend, closed for Easter. You know how many texts I got? Oh, it's closed, it's closed. Well, yeah, it's Easter. You know, of course it's closed. They have nowhere to go. If you go to Cornell Park and if you're a tennis player and you look at that court, it's pretty sad. You don't want to play there. You know, if anything, I would say take that money, restore that, and at least, or, you know, the other option, you know, on top of everything would be, we need to look at shift changes as well. Why are we closing on all our holidays? You know, we come here kind of to oppose or bring our views to this thing, but some other options for not only us, but pickleball, in that, you know, these facilities are closed on holidays. Why? You know, this is when we're off, you know? I understand that the people who work here, you know, it's a work week for them, but alternate the shifts the week before, the week after. Give days off, close this for a day or two here, a day or two here, so you can open in the middle, and let the people who live here enjoy this facility. You guys have done a lot of work here. We really do appreciate this facility, but there's a lot of times we can't use it, which is frustrating, and then it's even frustrating, you know, a bit more when we see, you know, things like this, where if we just schedule appropriately, we can really take advantage of what we have in front of us. Anybody have anything else to add?
No? Well, we might want to consider one thing, is the Cornell Park one.
Please go to, if you speak, please come to the podium.
Pardon?
If you're going to speak, please come to the podium.
Oh, okay.
We're recording this, so.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Oh, then I'm out of here. No.
state your name and just.
Jim Pearl. I play tennis on the weekends with everyone here and lived here for quite a while now. Look at Cornell Park just as an example. The tennis court there now can't be played on because it's pretty much destroyed with markings and everything else. They put in pickleball courts. That place is abandoned. You go by there, and any given day, you might see a couple people hitting the pickleball around, okay? But that's it. So you have a facility over there that's really not being used. Well, if they want more courts, tell them to take that other tennis court and make it into more of a pickleball complex. That kind of thing would probably help the overflow that they supposedly get. But in tennis, you put the lines on the courts? No. I mean, if you're any kind of an elevated player, you're going to go to Diamond Hills. And that's where we've lost people in the previous years, is they've gone to Diamond Hills because the courts weren't updated. Now we're getting some of those people coming back on the weekends, which is fantastic. They live here. And so that's just kind of my point, is it's about Discovery Bay and the residents, and I want to see them, you know, benefit from this. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect, Marnie.
One more. We have a USTA Troy representative here from the United States Tennis Association to speak a little bit about the rules.
So I'm Troy Rondo. I'm with USTA Northern California. I kind of oversee Parks and Rec, Community Tennis Associations for all of NorCal. Met Monica up at the California Parks and Rec and kind of got behind all this. I've got nothing against pickleball. We're actually working with pickleball, trying to find things to transition it out. But the main thing is putting on the lines, it does prohibit sanctioned tournaments. So if any of you want to bring anything for fees or anything for tournament-wise, you wouldn't be able to host any tournaments. We do have a 6-court minimum for doing any set of tournaments. If you do anything smaller, you don't really do anything. But that's just kind of a NorCal rule, where the lines kind of prohibit those players from wanting to play out on this court. And if you do have the pickleball lines on this course, that would break out any kind of funding from USTA or USTA Northern California. So as you were mentioning, the course needs to do a little bit of resurfacing. We do have grants available. For the 6 courts, we do have a $15,000 available, kind of match that and help out with everything. And then going back in terms of the new tennis players, in 2021, we had 22.6 million new players that came into tennis. That's up by 4.5% from 2020, and because of COVID, a lot of people are going to tennis. And that grew from that 4.5% in 2019 to 2021, 27.9%. So there is a huge growth in tennis players, especially coming over here to play on courts. Everything would kind of be in general use for everything. But other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So in hearing from all three, we just want to open it for discussion. I put together a staff report that explains what DVRS is requesting. So just want to discuss all the options, see what questions you may have.
Go back to Cornell. So what is the last time that has it been resurfaced?
And Cornell was turned into, it's half pickleball, half tennis to make it simple. But it is correct, those tennis courts were painted over with pickleball lines. So, and I see it, you really can't use it for tennis. When those pickleball courts were done, I'd have to go through my records. I mean, I think it's been...
I think it's like 2013, 14.
Eight so years, wow. Maybe.
It's 10 years.
And how often do we resurface courts?
Well, every 5 years is what's recommended.
Okay, so they're
we did ours 7 years the last time it was done.
Is it fair to say Cornell Parks do?
Absolutely. Okay. But it cannot be used for tennis.
Please.
I'm Bob Wayne. First off, I want to support these guys talking about figuring out how in the world we use these courts on weekends, nights, and holidays as you move down the road. I don't want to talk about that much, but I think it's an issue in our community and we need to figure out how to get it done. And I understand, and if it's a 6-court minimum on tennis or on USGA events, it's just the way it is. I guess I would ask, when was the last time we generated any funds for a USGA event? But, you know, you guys need to figure that out and decide whether there's really any money involved. The issue of, we are using Cornell, by the way, on Saturdays when the volume is here, there are people playing over there. There'll be 8 or 10 people playing at Cornell also. And we do have 30 people waiting at times. and it blocks out because they can't play, so they don't stay. They leave.
Are the people who are playing at Cornell Park part of your group?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're like the rest of everybody, the tennis players and us. There's people from, they're not all citizens necessarily, the Brentwood, but there are people that normally play, there are people that have joined our club and participate in the activities that we do. So they are playing.
Well, let me ask you back. Are your Saturday events an organized event, or just they come out and whoever's there will match up with other people? I'm just trying to understand what.
Well, pickleball is a normal activity. Is you are if there's an organization that we have, you announce when drop-in play is. It's basically drop-in play. Pickleball games are relatively short, and we're using a system where you put the paddle on the fence. If you see the competition that you can play, then two of you will put it on the fence, or maybe four. In our case, we have many Saturdays where you put four paddles up, and if there's four paddles up, everybody comes off and four people go on, which is happening some places, and we do it when we have the volume. So I guess I would, and while that's going on, there may be times when people have rented those tennis courts and they're there. And we're talking about if there are folks from Mountain House or somewhere, and I would guess that they would rent, even if they had pickleball lines on them. And we wouldn't expect to use them. If tennis was being played, we wouldn't expect to be using them. But most of the time, when we have this Saturday activity, and it is Saturday, I agree with that, is that those back two courts are not used. I can remember one time since we got the courts in when there were actually all the tennis courts were being used.
So. Okay. I just want to understand, so on the drop in play, is it a certain time frame from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, or?
It starts at a bit in better weather, it's 8 o'clock usually, until they get tired. And noon, it runs. There are not 30 people waiting all of that period, because people start showing up, and then it's, you know, there's a couple of hours in the middle, a couple 3 hours in the middle of the day when we have those kind of numbers, and you never know whether they're leaving because they can't play. They don't want to wait, you know. So, you just don't play. So.
Got it.
Monica, I have a good question for you. Do you, off the top of your brain, I know I'm spitballing this to you.
Yeah.
What are some of the funds and stuff that we've raised with the USDA? What kind of tournaments do we hold with that, just to have an understanding of what that looks like on that side?
Yeah, we've got probably four different teams so this would be like their, and Troy, please correct me if I'm saying this wrong, because I don't play tennis. But so then you've got two teams, so probably four different captains. And then they have their opposing team that they play. They want to rent. Their request is always to rent six courts. And I deny their request because I keep two courts open for the residents to come and do drop-in. So what the groups are doing is they're renting the back four courts to leave the two open for our residents to do drop-in, and then they have to stagger their times. So they might rent four courts from 9 to 11, and then they'll rent another court or two courts actually from 11 to the rest of the time, because they can't get their play done all in one time, because we've chosen to keep those open for our residents.
And how often are they being rented out?
Well, it's all throughout the year.
Okay.
Lately, even in the winter months, we have a lot that we have to cancel. They have to cancel because of rain. So it's sporadic. It's not every weekend, but it's frequently. And if I have to pull the, we got more rentals today.
Okay.
For those courts.
So was that decision based on the fact that we took Cornell and converted from 2 to 1? Is that part of that decision?
That's part of that decision, because then our residents have nowhere to play. The people that live here that do the drop-in, like the
student. We whined a lot. What's that? We whined a lot.
No, it's the right thing. And then when we do have our own, the community center has our own tennis coach that we teach the youth and adult lessons. So then she gets court one, and they know that now. Because parents like to come and watch, and we don't want to put those little kids in the back. So when they're doing lessons, they are on tennis court one, which is the first one when you walk in.
And I think I heard about six courts have to be in play
for USDA.
For a major tournament. So if you hosted any sort of like junior tournament or adult tournament, then they would have to be a six-court minimum. like what you're talking about now for the adult leagues, then it just has to be a minimum of 2 to 3 courts, just because each league has a minimum line number. So there's either going to be 5 lines playing at a time, 4 lines, or 3 lines, and it all changes throughout the entire year. The one that's coming up right now is the 18 and over, which is the largest one, which has 5 lines, so they do the staggered start with 3, then 2.
Do we do junior league stuff often, or...?
Yeah, in the summer and spring, and on all the breaks, we do youth tennis. And they've been filling up. I've sent pictures.
Actually. I saw, actually. That's why I'm asking. Yeah. Just to have an understanding of the mix, because our community's both adult and youth.
Right.
So.
And it has been the youth that she offers adults, but that doesn't seem to, I think they must all already know how to play, so it is for kids mostly.
And from a teaching perspective, you're saying it's hard to do that with various lines. Is that what I'm hearing?
Teaching-wise, it's hit or miss, depending on what the pro likes to do. But from a playing perspective, the lines do hinder. That's why when they're coming out with the 36-foot courts and the 6-foot courts, the lines were another shade of the court color, so they didn't interfere. When they put down pickleball lines, they're usually a completely different color than what's on the courts, so it does interfere a little bit more. And coming from a player's perspective, because I play out of, we have rec regions, and Diablo North is one of the regions. Discovery Bay is part of that. There's already a lot that don't like coming this far to play. And then putting lines down will just be another hindrance that would possibly get rid of Discovery Bay from the Diablo War.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I have to think about that guest here.
So you're needing direction from us, correct? So this is a tough one because I think there's passion on both sides, right? And I think we appreciate the passion for both. Both groups do great things. I know I've said many times, if some of the other groups in our community that want stuff could raise money the way that the pickleballers raise money, I think we would be able to get a lot of stuff done.
Of course, when I just found out it was a $15,000 grant.
Yeah, go team.
I learned about it.
but with that being said, I think that there needs to be some fair and equity in what we're doing and kind of the groups that we're appealing to. I like that the tennis brings in some stuff for the youth to do, and I think that that's important, especially in our community where we have some youth stuff to do, but not a ton. And if that allows them to come and do something here and local and the parents don't have to worry about it, I'm a proponent as... You know, everyone kind of gets half and leaving it that way.
Well, it sounds like at the end of the day, we could have 6 of each in order for this to be.
Well, 6 of each here.
Yeah,
there's also
right.
The Summit Cornell. The Wall at Cornell, correct.
And it sounds like to me, Cornell really is the one that we should be talking about.
Right.
That has the most need for attention at this point.
It does.
So that's probably something for a separate agenda item for next meeting.
That would probably be a CIP, I'm guessing. Not something that would come out of our operating.
Because that would help all the way around for everyone, if I'm understanding that correctly.
There's no question that it needs the tennis. Those pickleball lines were put in because we were running tournaments, and it was better for the tournament. We weren't over here. We didn't.
Yeah.
They were up before that. Management came to us and said, "What do you think about coming over to Cornell?" To the Pin Center. And, you know, obviously that discussion we ended up agreeing to do that. And so, the question that those lines need to be repainted back on, because of the time frame, maybe if you've got any funds to redo a tennis court, I certainly would agree that that needs to be done.
But for this agenda, for this item,
it's not.
We just don't want to
I agree with you. Yeah.
So for this agenda, we know we have 8 pickleball courts. 9, if you count the messed up court that's already painted for pickleball court in Cornell, the tennis court. And we have 6 real tennis courts that we can have tournaments, do youth training, and have drop-in.
Correct.
So...
the scales are already tilted pretty far.
Yeah, but so is the scale of usage within our community.
By who?
We probably have close to 200 contacts with those courts a week.
How many people are from Discovery Bay?
Hey guys, let's keep this. Would extending the hours and having lighting out there solve any of these problems, or?
That would be beneficial for both groups. Extending holiday hours, changing schedule, or extending hours in the summer. However, if they can't even stagger their day play on a Saturday morning, which is their only busiest window from 8 to 12, what's that going to do for you? It's more work for y'all and not getting the actual problem, is what I see.
Yeah, it sounds like the issue is Saturday morning, so lighting wouldn't...
It's not going to do anything.
Ourselves a passion for all you guys, because we want this community center to utilize. That's what we joined the board for. At this point, though, I'm not ready to move forward with restriping one of the tennis courts into a pickleball court for additional. I don't know where you're.
I feel the same way for the reasons that I just stated.
For future, I'd like to talk more about extending hours, lighting, and the Cornell Park stuff.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, I'm just not in a position to feel comfortable saying, let's restripe one of the tennis courts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to say on the tennis court side, this year I noticed we're addressing our drop-in group in Discovery Bay. But I have noticed the last couple of months, other groups that I've never seen before come in and use tennis courts. Two or three other groups that are, they take up two courts. So they're not associated with our group. So there is still going to be a demand for tennis. Thank you.
Public comment? Beyond what you guys already said. No one online? Okay. Well, then if that's where it's at, I think we should.
I say thank you for your passion, both of you. I mean, it's really nice being able to see people come in and advocate for stuff being done in the community. I think if we could do it for everyone and make every side happy all the way around, we 100% would.
And thank you for inviting for this. This is very helpful. I did not even understand the level of the tennis, the pickleball. So.
No, absolutely. We want to make sure that everybody has their voice and can represent their perspective. Okay.
Oh. I think I shared with Monica at the CPRS conference that I had mentioned it for my first comment that USTA and pickleball are trying to work together. We're actually creating community hubs with pickleball and tennis courts along with play structures. So if there's anything ever new to put in, there's more money for new construction and then also playground structures. So things like that. So there is a work between trying to with the two entities. But that's another option as well if anything does come up.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move back to F3, which is graffiti and vandalism.
What's the structure?
Okay.
We're excited to hear about graffiti.
since September of last year, when we started keeping track of the vandalism, there's been 6 episodes, totaling a cost of approximately $6,000 in time and materials.
For all area?
That's just for the Cornell bath.
Just for the Cornell bath.
$6,000.
Since September, there's been 6 episodes since September. Oof.
That's not very long.
And that doesn't include all, like we just repainted tables at Slater Park. So this is just the Cornell bathrooms. So we'll continue to keep track.
Carry on. So we're just updating how the cost of it.
Yep.
Got it.
Keeping you up to date on where we're at with the tally.
Yeah, I guess.
That's almost $1,000
a month. Yeah, now we just put the anti-graffiti coating on, so, you know, that'll minimize some of the...
So exactly, at Slifer, when you painted over the table, and they came back again, so is just with the graffiti paint on, then it just does it wipe off, or...
Still need to get a power washer out there, and...
It just makes it a little bit simpler?
A little simpler.
So do
it's
we,
still time and materials.
Do we catch any of these people? Like, do we know?
What Bill's doing is, if there's tagging, he takes a picture of it, and we send it to the sheriff's department. But as of right now, we have not
Okay.
I don't know what you could do. I mean, there's not enough cameras in California to cover all Discovery Bay, probably. You know?
Yeah.
So,
would it really
deter?
I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe.
There
was 1,000 cameras, maybe.
Yeah. Thank
any
you.
Any final comments on graffiti?
Can we get them to do, like, nice graffiti? Maybe we need to encourage
the
graffiti.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole thing of graffiti. There's an artist that actually does graffitied railroad cars. It's, like, famous. And so he comes out and actually, like, maybe we need to encourage it that way. Maybe we're hitting it the wrong way. Like, come out, make it a cool art thing, and then be done.
Okay. Well, what's our next meeting?
Next month.
And so can we add the agenda items of Slifer, or I like Cornell Park.
Cornell Park.
Redoing the
ports there.
Yeah. Ports there, and then potentially, I know it comes up a lot, but addressing the timing of stuff, of when things are open.
Okay, well, with that being said, 5:52.
Go team.
All right.
Thank you.
Major.